Pleasure to be with my brother tonight here. I know he would appreciate your smiles and your prayers tonight. Our brother Darren.
Can you hear me? Is it on? Okay, good deal. Welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's so good to be here with you. I had the opportunity 2 weeks ago, to be at the Colorado reunion. What a joy it was to be with brothers and sisters that I don't get to see very much. While I get to see you all more, it's a joy to be with you. Today, I feel led to preach about that covenant we've made with Jesus Christ. When we entered in the waters of baptism, we witnessed of that covenant, that we were willing to keep his commandments till the end of our lives. And today we had the opportunity to witness our brother Benjamin Grimm was baptized this morning, and our new brother. And this next Sunday, we will be witnessing unto God that we always remember Jesus Christ when we partake of the bread and the wine. And I want to remind us what that means, the covenant we've made, and the witness we make when we partake of the bread and the wine. So I'm going to start tonight reading in Alma chapter 5, and I'll begin in verse 26. And this is about that covenant that we make with Christ, and we witness of this covenant when we enter into the waters of baptism. It says, "Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not, and lay aside every sin which easily doth beset us, which doth bind you down." Excuse me, let me read that again. "Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not, and lay aside every sin which easily doth beset you, which doth bind you down to destruction." And that's what we do when we make that covenant and we enter into the water of baptism. We lay aside all those sins that we've previously committed. We say, no more are you going to have rule and reign over my life, but I take upon myself the name of Christ, and I trust in him and his merits, because he's the author and the finisher of my faith. It says, "Yea, come and go forth." Should I put this down a little bit, Brother Rusty? Up higher. There we go. Is that better? Okay. Verse 27, "Yea, come and go forth and shew unto your God that ye are willing to repent of your sins. Lay them aside. And enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments, and witness it unto him this day by going into the waters of baptism. And whosoever doeth this and keepeth the commandments of God from thenceforth, the same will remember that I say unto him, yea, he will remember that I have said unto him, he shall have eternal life according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit which testifieth in me." And truly, that is a promise, and it will take place. If we are faithful to the end, if we keep his commandments, if we continue to remember him the rest of our lives, we will have eternal life. Now turn with me to Moroni chapter 6, verse 1. More about this covenant and baptism. "And now I speak concerning baptism. Behold, elders, priests, and teachers were baptized." And what he's telling us about here is he's telling us what happened when Christ taught his disciples when he was on this land. If you read the beginning of Moroni, he talks about that. He says He feels he should share a few more words with those of a future generation, being those Lamanites and including us, of what Christ taught those disciples. And this is what he taught, this is what occurred when Christ was on this land. It says, "Now I speak concerning baptism. Behold, elders, priests, and teachers were baptized, and they were not baptized save they brought forth fruit meat, that they were worthy of it. Neither did they receive any unto baptism, save they came forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit." Do you remember that day that you were baptized? You remember wanting to be washed clean of your sins, wanting to be pure and spotless, and having that broken heart and contrite spirit for the sins that you had committed, wanting never more to return to them. It says, "Neither did they receive any unto baptism, save they came forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and witnessed unto the church that they truly repented of all their sins." Witnessed that they, when we were baptized, we witnessed that we had, as it said earlier, set aside every sin that easily had beset us before. "And none were received unto baptism, save they took upon them the name of Christ." That's always been of interest to me. You know, when we are born, we're usually born into a family, and here in the United States, we take upon us the last name of our father. In Honduras, you take on upon you the last name of your, first is the last name of your father, and then is the last name of your mother. But here, at birth, when we are born again, we take upon us the name of Christ. You know, I remember it used to be said in previous generations I can't remember how it was put exactly, but you didn't want to, and I don't know how to say this, you didn't want to hurt the name or of your family. I can't put it in words, but you didn't want to shame the name of your family. And put in this perspective, when we take upon us the name of Christ, when we have, as it later says, trusted in his merits, it's a fearful thing to shame the name of Christ. So we take upon us his name, having a determination to serve him unto the end. As I said before, we read before in Alma, we make a covenant to keep his commandments till the end of our lives. And here it says that none were received unto baptism unless they had that determination to do that, to keep his commandments, to serve him unto the end. And after that they had been received into baptism and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. Does it say they were numbered among the people of the Baptist Church? Or numbered among the people of the Catholic Church? Or numbered among the people of the Restoration branches? Or numbered, and here I'm not here to badmouth any church, but here is something beautiful that witnesses of the Church of Christ. It says they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. To me, that was one of the points that made me realize I wasn't baptized correctly when I was baptized two times before, or put into the water two times before, because I didn't become a member. I didn't become numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. But this last time, I was truly baptized. And I did, according to what was said here, I had a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I witnessed unto the church that I truly repented of all my sins. I had a determination to serve Christ to the end. And because of that, I was cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost and numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. What a blessing that is, that you and I have had the opportunity, and we have received the Holy Ghost, and we have been numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. What a gift that is of God. And it's something we should not take lightly. And we should be witnessing to others that His church does exist. And they have an opportunity as well to become numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. Verse 5, and this is where I feel I fall short sometimes. And I don't want to judge anybody else, but I think we could improve in this area. Their names were taken, and that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and finisher of their faith. I want to take that verse in pieces. This is the part I was talking about, was this part about we do take their names, and we write it in a book, we register them, and often we do a good job of encouraging a brother or a sister when they're in the when they're slipping. Our brother Randy this morning preached, and he preached about this, warning us against slipping, against not remembering Christ and slipping. And warning us against the snares of the adversary. But it is our responsibility when we see our brother or a sister slipping to warn them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to remember them, and nourish them with the good word of God. It says to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone, I don't want to go on there. Keep them continually watchful unto prayer. We need to remind each other to pray often. We need to pray together as couples. Pray with our children. Pray with our grandchildren. Pray with our grandparents. Pray with our neighbors. We need to pray often. It says somewhere else in the Word of God that the devil is the one that teaches us not to pray. It's a good thing to pray. And then I love this last part, because I know my weakness, but this says relying alone upon the merits of Christ. He's the one that gives us strength. You know, it says, I think in Hebrews, that he was tempted in all ways like we are, that he might succor us. He might give us that thing that we're in need of. In other words, he suffered every temptation that we know of. He suffered those temptations, but yet was faithful to God. So he knows when whatever fear we might have, whatever temptation we might have, he knows what it's like. And so we have him to go to. We have him to strengthen us, to succor us when we're in need, when we're being tempted, when we are fearing, when we are doubting. He will give us that strength that we need to overcome. It says, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and the finisher of our faith. He was from the beginning. He created the heavens and the earth. He was with the Father. It says here that he was the author. He wrote the way. He plowed the path first. And he is the finisher. He's the one that will give us the strength to get us through the trial. He will give us the faith. Let's turn now to the third book of Nephi, chapter 8, verse 53. Actually, we're going to go before that. Just a moment. We're going to start in verse 28. And this is where Christ commanded them, you know, on this land. He gave them the commandment of how they should prepare and serve and partake of the bread and wine. And it starts off in verse 28, "And it came to pass that Jesus commanded his disciples that they should bring forth some bread and wine unto him. And while they were gone for bread and wine, he commanded the multitude that they should sit themselves down upon the earth. And when the disciples had come with bread and wine, he took of the bread and brake and blessed it. And he gave unto the disciples and commanded that they should eat. And when they had eaten and were filled, he commanded that they should give unto the multitude. And when the multitude had eaten and were filled, he saith unto the disciples, Behold, there shall one be ordained among you, and to him will I give power that he should break bread and bless it and give it unto the people of my church, unto all they which shall believe and be baptized in my name." So there it teaches us who the bread should be given to. "And this shall ye always observe to do, even as I have done, even as I have broken bread and blessed it and gave it unto you. And this shall ye do in remembrance of my body, which I have shewn unto you. And it shall be a testimony of the Father that ye do always remember me. And if ye do always remember me, ye shall have my Spirit to be with you. And it shall come to pass, and it came to pass that when he had said these words, he commanded his disciples that they should take of the wine of the cup and drink of it. That they should also give unto the multitude." Excuse me. "And it came to pass that when he had said these words, he commanded his disciples that they should take of the wine of the cup and drink of it, and that they should also give unto the multitude that they might drink of it. And it came to pass that they did so, and did drink of it, and were filled, and they gave unto the multitude. And they did drink, and they were filled. And when the disciples had done this, Jesus saith unto them, Blessed are ye for this thing which ye have done, for this is fulfilling my commandments." This is part of this promise, this covenant that we make with him, that will fulfill his commandments, that will keep his commandments. This is part of it. "And this doth witness unto the Father that ye are willing to do that which I have commanded you. And this shall ye always do unto those who repent and are baptized in my name. And ye shall do it in remembrance of my blood, which I have shed for you, that ye may witness unto the Father that ye do always remember me. And if ye do always remember me, ye shall have my Spirit to be with you. And I give unto you a commandment that ye shall do these things. And if ye shall always do these things, blessed are ye, for ye are built upon my rock. But whoso among you shall do more or less than these are not built upon my rock, but are built upon a sandy foundation. And when the rain descends and the floods come and the winds blow and beat upon them, they shall fall, and the gates of hell are already open to receive them. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye shall keep my commandments, when the Father hath commanded me, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto ye. And this, remember that this earlier portion, what we just got through reading, and before I go on, I'm going to go to Moroni, chapters 4 and 5. But when we partake of this bread and this wine, we are witnessing unto him, as he says, witnessing unto the Father, that we always remember Christ, that we always remember him. Remember, we talked about taking upon us the name of Christ and what that means, that we are willing to keep his commandments, that we're careful not to shame his name. And so when we partake of that bread and that wine, we're witnessing that we do remember that, that covenant we've made, and that we remember him and the example that he set before us. We remember his words to feast upon them. And so, before I go to those prayers, I'm going to go to 2 Nephi, 2nd book of Nephi, chapter 13, to remind us once again of that baptism and that covenant that we make. I'm going to be in 2nd book of Nephi, chapter 13, verse 16. Wherefore, ye beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water, according to his word, just as he did, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. There again is the promise that if we do these things, if we make this covenant with him, and we're willing to do that, that he will give us the Holy Ghost. Verse 17, yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. Now please go to verse 27. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask, if all is done, behold, I say unto you, nay. For ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ. And here we're going to read, what is it we can do to always remember him, to always stay in the right way, to stay in the right path? So it says, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Once again, relying upon the merits of Christ. What are merits? Merits are something you've earned. merits or something you've done. But in this case, it's talking about what Christ has done. And so we're relying on what Christ has done, his sacrifice, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. He was resurrected because he remained faithful and obedient. He kept the commandments of his Father. And we're to rely on what he did and the power of his resurrection to work and move in us and help us to accomplish that same thing. For him to succor us when we need succor, help us where we need help. Relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. That word to me is, that carries emotion with it to me. Steadfastness, diligence, clinging to, that word speaks to me, clinging to his word, clinging to Christ. It reminds me of that vision of Nephi when it talks about clinging to that rod of iron and not letting it go. Steadfastness. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. It reminds me of struggles I've had in my life. And when I had those trials, I clung to him. Well, that type of clinging we should have at all times. Good times and the bad. I mean, through the trials and through the blessings, we should keep clinging to him. We should have that steadfastness. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope. Never forget that hope, even when things look hopeless. Have hope in Christ. Having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Those two commandments, love God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ. Here these are things we can apply to everyday life, to the decisions we have to make, to getting up in the morning. Pray, feast upon the words of Christ. Have a steadfastness in Christ. Draw near to him. These are things we can do. Feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end. Never give up. Behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life if ye do these things. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way. And there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ and the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not remember that I said unto you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye should speak with the tongue of angels? Remember that in verse 17, it says, yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. Sometimes people get this confused with that gift of many tongues, but this is speaking of a specific tongue. It says the tongue of angels, and then it goes on to tell us what that tongue of angels is, that is given to each one of us. It says, and now, how can ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. They speak the words of Christ. So when we are given this gift of the Holy Ghost, we're given this tongue of angels or the power to speak the word of Christ. And how can we do that? But by feasting upon the words of Christ. And so it is our responsibility every day to feast upon the words of Christ that we might be ready to share that hope that is within us with others, that hope of Christ, and to be able to speak truth. You know, it's amazing when we give ourselves to God and we ask Him to use us, to give us the opportunity to witness to others. He does it when we've prepared ourselves, when we feasted upon the Word, and we have, He gives us this opportunity to speak to somebody, and they're amazed by the answer that God has given us, that tongue of angels. They're amazed, and they're drawn to Christ when we're used by Him, when we allow ourselves to be used by Him. Verse 4, "Wherefore I said unto you," and He's explaining this, you know, we're given this, let me read again verse 3. "And now how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. Wherefore, now after that I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore, ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark." I think many times we wonder what we should do and continual wondering when we have it before us what we should do. Ask. Very simple. Ask. We should ask Him. And He is faithful. If we do what He says to do, He is faithful to answer. He's faithful to give us, maybe we don't understand everything, the whole plan in front of us, but He'll give us the next step, what the next step is on the path. All we have to do is, I shouldn't say all we have to do. What we have to do is do what it says here, feast upon His word, pray often, and ask, and He will answer. "Wherefore now, after that I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew you unto you all things what ye should do." So that's a promise to us. Those of us who've made that covenant with Christ, who've entered in by the way through baptism, and we have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it will tell us all things we should do. That's a promise. So let's, I do want to turn back to... I do want to turn back to third book of Nephi, chapter 8. Verse 47. And this is more that we can do while we're in this path. It says in verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people which do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And this is something that I want to make you brothers and sisters aware of, that this is true, that the devil desires to have each one of us. He desires to sift us as wheat. We were at the Colorado reunion, and I felt to stand up and give a testimony of trials that I've had where the devil tried to tear my family apart, divide us. And it seemed hopeless at the time, except for that hope in Christ. And I started doing that steadfastness. I told you about the trials. Well, I hadn't been steadfast. Work was my number one priority. And because of that, Satan was able to enter into my family because I was not tending to my family. And so, but I did. I fasted and prayed and I turned it over to the Lord, and he was able to do marvelous things. And now our family is much stronger today, and there's a much stronger love between us. But I was, as I gave this testimony, I was led to warn us as a church that the devil would like to do the same to the church of Christ. He would love to tear us apart. He would love to divide us. And I want to do the same thing for the body of Christ. I want to pray and fast and pray that we stay one body, that we stay committed, that we battle not against one another, but that we battle against the devil and his angels. I feel it necessary to, as much as possible, go to the reunions. We had that opportunity to go to the Colorado reunion. What a blessing it was. People from the East local, Temple Lot local, Idaho local, Phoenix local, just a bunch of people there sharing together, one body. And it's good if you and I, those of us from the Temple Lot, sometimes could come to the East local, and the East local come to the Temple Lot and strengthen those bonds. I love those Wednesday night services that we share together. But the more we're together, the more we meet together oft. And that's what I'm getting ready to read here. But the more we strengthen the body against those fiery darts of the devil. So it says here in verse 51, that for Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. And that's something we just read earlier, to ask. And this is a promise, that if we do it, if we ask the Father in the name of Christ, for that which is right, believing that we shall receive, it shall be given unto us. What a great promise that is. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that being Jesus who's speaking here. that being Christ, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft. That's a commandment. And that means when there's a service, Wednesday night, Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, we need to be in that service, whether it's here at the Temple Lot local, another local when we're on trips and we're nearby. And if we can't even make it there, oftentimes there's a phone church available to us. Or there's web access to the Temple Lot service or the Michigan service. Those are available to us. But this is a commandment. I didn't take that seriously years ago, I'm not even sure I was aware it was a commandment. But I remember a sister saying, we believe we're supposed to be in church anytime the doors are open. And since I have made a commitment in my life, I have been so blessed. Even when I don't feel like being in church. You know, sometimes we feel that way. But when we go, we're blessed. And that's a commandment. But I don't think this just means meet together with the same people oft. I think it means with the whole body as much as possible. I think we need to strengthen the body. I think we need to encourage one another as much as we can, whichever local we go to. And I think we need to meet together as often as possible. It's good to meet together. But suffer, let's see. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. To me, that's saying, it reminds me of that God is no respecter of persons, and that he would that all might be saved. It doesn't mean everybody's going to be saved. But he would that all might be saved. And we need to have that same love for others as he has for us. Not forbidding anyone, encouraging them rather to be among us, to be in services with us. But ye shall pray for them. So it's giving us added responsibility, not only to allow them to be among us, and not cast them out, but to pray for them. And it says, but ye shall pray for them and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore, hold up your light that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, which ye have seen me do. And of course, we didn't see him do this, but we've read what they saw. We have before us what he did, and we should hold that light up. The things that he did, we should do. Now, to close, I would just like to read those prayers over the bread and wine, as a reminder to us that we might prepare for next Sunday when we partake of the bread and wine. And if you would, as we read those prayers, think of all these things that we read and ways that we can remember Christ by doing what he said to do. Chapter 4 of Moroni, I'm just going to go ahead and start in verse 1. The manner of the elders and priests administering the flesh and blood of Christ unto the church, and they administered it according to the commandments of Christ, wherefore we know that the manner to be true. And the elder or priest did minister it. And they did kneel down with the church and pray to the Father in the name of Christ, saying, O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments which he hath given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. The manner of administering the wine. Behold, they took the cup and said, O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.